We bless and worship you. Awesome God. Awesome power. Majesty. You are plenteous in mercies. Always willing to forgive. We bless and worship you, our Father. Lord Jesus. Savior of all men. Especially those who believe. You sit at the right hand of the Father in majesty. Your name is holy. Your name is like an ointment poured forth. That's why the virgins love thee. It's of your fullness that we have received grace upon grace. You give grace and you give glory. No good thing do you withhold from those who put their trust in you. We worship you, Lord Jesus, risen King, our Savior and our God. We thank you for your grace. Precious Holy Spirit, awesome, resident member of the Godhead here on earth, the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, the seven spirits before the throne of God. The Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you because you are the one that raises a standard of power, a standard of righteousness, a standard of glory. You are a person. You are God. You are our God, our sanctifier, the resident member of the Godhead here on earth. We worship you. We call you our friend and our God. Come and help us to do all things well. Come and take absolute control of everything we will do, think, or say in our meeting today. Come and bring glory to the name of Jesus. Cause blessings, transformation, edification to be to us, the sons of men. We need you, Holy Spirit. Without you, we can do nothing. Come and take preeminence. Come and take control. Come and glorify Jesus. We need your help. We bless and worship you. Triune Deity, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we bless, worship, and adore you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Our Father, we bless you for this evening. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather again to under the covering of our fathers. We pray that an open heaven be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and the power of God will flow. We pray that by the reason of the Spirit and the Word, you will break yokes, you will heal bodies, you will meet needs, you will dissolve doubts in our lives, you will solve our riddles, you bring glory to the name of Jesus, blessings to us, the sons of men. As we go into your Word, we go under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of Pastor Olubi and Mommy Sarah, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age. That's as we go to share, as we go into interaction, the Word of God will have a free course. The Word of God will be glorified. Thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that's at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Father, we are also not ignorant of the devices of the enemy against our meeting, against the effectual delivery and receiving of the word. And Lord, under the in unity with my brethren, under the covering of our fathers, and under the lordship and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind wandering, fear, unbelief, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil, or a such contrary foul spirits. We cast you out. We destroy your works. We resist and bind you and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning our meeting, our fellowship, our ministration, and our time of interaction in Jesus' name. We lean under the covering of our fathers. We lean under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take control and let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. That's not a super hand clap. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You are welcome to Zion City Fellowship, Campus Outreach Arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Thank you for the honor to our parents. Pastor Lalu sent a message about the meeting and was just telling me that the pastor replied. He's praying along. He's with us in the spirit. So we are always grateful for their consecration and their dedication to our spiritual growth, development, and welfare. Pray that the Lord Almighty continue to strengthen their hands and bless them mightily in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today is our interactive session in this month. We have been speaking about the good and the honest heart, or the honest and good heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Like Pastor said earlier this year, probably from last year, but emphasize this year, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Praise the Lord. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So, we've been looking at the good, the honest and good heart. Amen. Now, we can concentrate on our actions. And really, at the end of the day, what people see is our actions. But the origin and the source of strength of the things we do is from the heart. Praise the Lord. Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence. Amen. Not some diligence. Keep your heart with what? All diligence. For out of it proceeds the issues of life. Amen. You can put that scripture on the board. Keep your heart with all diligence. Means guard your heart. Pastor Bega preached a message some weeks ago on a Wednesday. Guard your thoughts. Judge yourself. Praise the Lord. Judge your intentions. Judge your motives. Praise the Lord. And when we do that, keep thy heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. For out of there are the issues of life. When you judge your heart, you judge your motives, you judge your thoughts. What it helps you to do enables you or brings to your consciousness is that you are somebody who is always quick to repent. Praise the Lord. Who is always what? Quick to repent. Because you always judge your thoughts. You judge your actions. You judge your intentions. You judge your motives. And many times some of those things is only known to you. And once that conscience pricks you that that's not good, you quickly judge yourself. Praise the Lord. You quickly repent. Amen. Makes you someone who is now sensitive to God. Praise the Lord. Bible talks about, give me that scripture in Hebrews. Talks about running away from an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. Talking about avoiding the heart of Esau. Didn't plan to say this. Yes. Let's read it. Take heed. I didn't hear you. Take heed, brethren. Look at your neighbor, say, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Praise the Lord. You see, that's what happens when you don't keep your heart with all diligence. It can happen to the best of us. If you are not quick to repent, you are not sensitive to the things of God, you don't quickly judge yourself. And that's why I use the word, take heed. It can happen. Praise the Lord. It can happen. Lest you have an evil heart of unbelief. Don't believe in prayers anymore. Don't believe in the Bible anymore. No one is departing from the living God. Praise the Lord. So a good and honest heart is one you are quick to judge yourself. Praise the Lord. A good and honest heart is fueled by the word of God. It's fueled by what? The word of God. Amen. That's another way to also judge yourself. Are you stepping down from the word of God? Praise the Lord. Are you stepping down from the word of God? The word of God is far off. The word of God is a drudgery. There's no interest in the word of God. It's an evil heart. is departing from the living God. Give me thy word, Psalm 1:19. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. An evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I'm still waiting for Psalm 119. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Yeah, 119:11. Yes. Go to verse 10. Verse 10. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? Praise the Lord. So you don't want a heart that is departing from the living God? Put the word of God inside. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So go to verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Praise the Lord. It's a good and a honest heart. It's fueled by the word of God. Praise the Lord. The sensitive conscience is fueled by the word of God. Amen. And say, I hid that word. Put it into my heart. I read it with sincerity. I read it with prayers. Amen. I hid it in my heart. So when the enemy comes in, the word stands against. Praise the Lord. Let's be careful, though. There's nothing in this world. Don't abandon the word of God. Praise the Lord. Don't abandon the word of God. I beseech you, I beg you. Don't abandon the word of God. Amen. And you see yourself, it can happen to anybody, the best of all. You see yourself, your dedication to the word of God, your commitment to the word of God is you are losing grip, is loosening, is not, call yourself to order. Praise the Lord. Get back to the word. Quick to repent, then fuel that heart, a honest and good heart, fuel it with the word of God. Praise the Lord. And lastly, prayers. Amen. Prayers. Prayers are needed to strengthen your heart. Praise the Lord. There is a sin nature within and there is a sin nature without. The devil in our souls, in our body, there is a sin nature, is trying to grab the satanic nature, fuel it into our heart. The devil from outside is blowing the wind to take you away from the things of God. You strengthen your heart with prayers. Amen. You strengthen your anchor. Amen. Strengthen your anchor with prayers. Amen. That's how you keep the honest and good heart. Praise the Lord. It's a scripture. We'll soon start. Today you will talk. Praise the Lord. I'll ask questions. You will answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, so you will read the Bible. I'll ask questions. You will answer or you will make comments. Praise the Lord. Pastor told us many years ago, I was in university then, he said you didn't come to church to be entertained. You came to church to be educated. Praise the Lord. Church is spiritual school. You came to church primarily to be what? Educated. So you know more about God by coming to church. Not that you just get excited. Yeah, sometimes you get excited. But primarily, we came to be educated. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Hebrews 6. We never touched this scripture, but it's one coming to my heart about the heart. Praise the Lord. It's coming to my heart about the heart. Hebrews 6. network. It's okay. Let me use the app Bible. Hebrews 6, which the anchor that we have to our soul, both sure and steadfast, that goes in within the veil. It's on the board. Thank you. Let me tell you this. You know, some students enter school, get into university, and they are just excited and content about being there. They are not even thinking of graduating. I know it exists. I've been in university before. They are just excited that they are in school and content about it. They are not thinking of graduation. They are just happy about the day-to-day. We have friends. We go to class. I had one roommate like that. He was not excited. You could see he wasn't thinking that one day he will leave the school. You know what he told me? He said, why am I always reading that? The first 3 weeks, he doesn't even know how the classroom looks. Of resumption. He does not even know how the classroom looks. They are going to class. The day he decided to go, he said, him and his friend said, let's be quick. I said, I want to go to class today. He kept looking at the mirror, adjusting his dress. He's going to class. Then he just bought a new wristwatch. He wanted to be sure the long sleeve was not going to cover the watch. I'm telling you, real life, not story. So, they started practicing how they will enter the class in the room, like a grand entry into class. So that one is so excited and content that he's in school. They are not really bothering about graduation. The only time the boy becomes sober is when exam timetable comes out. Then just don't know that school am a wow. I think he ended up with an extra year and left with third class. It was this our experience together. We were both in 211. We were rooming only for that year. But it was obvious when they say he had third class. I wasn't surprised because when he first lands in school, his brand new shoes, nice wristwatch, nice shirt. Then obviously the first weekends is the female hostel. He said the first 3 weeks, he does not even know how the classroom looks. But he's a student. You're a Christian. You don't even know where your Bible is. But it happens. It's like that. You read it occasionally. Sometimes you only look for it because it's time to go to church. Nowadays, they don't even look for it to come to church. Just sit down and just pass the time in church. You are like those students. They are not even conscious about graduation. They are not thinking about it. But they are in church or they are in school. In church, they are not thinking that Jesus is coming back. There are many people, they are not thinking Jesus is coming back. If you check all the equations of their life, that Jesus is coming back does not add up to it. They are not thinking that the glory of God is coming to the church. He's not a honest and good heart. Praise the Lord. He's not a honest and good heart. But the student that came in 100 level and is already thinking that, hey, if there is mistake in my life, I want it to be second class upper. Then that decision drives the student to do the assignments, to read for the test. And that thing builds a long-term capacity, stamina. It's not easy. You are doing a 4-year or 5-year course, but you have to be serious from year one. consistency is the hallmark of champions. You have to be serious from the beginning. You can't say you love year one, you love year two, then year three, you now want to be serious. It can't work like that. So the Christianity too must be looking at a goal. Amen. That's how to build the honest and good heart. Looking at the glory of God. You want to be a partaker. Praise the Lord. So that's how I can read the scripture. Go to verse 17. Okay, he said, which hope? But we need to know that hope. Amen. That's why I went through all that describing a student without a hope. A Christian without a hope. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. Tell your neighbor, that's you and I. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath. Verse 18. Next verse. That by two immutable things, God gave a counsel, like a promise. Then he swore that it will come to pass. Those are the two. When God promised something, he will do it. God now swore that he will do it. That's the two. It can't change. His promise and his oath. By two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. A strong consolation. Now, we're in a burial this morning, and Pastor was saying he has no iota in his heart. He was comforting the children that woman is in heaven. That's a strong consolation. Praise the Lord. Strong something that gives you a hope. A strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. I don't know whether you are fleeing for refuge. You know, in Nigeria today, particularly when you're an adult, you pay school fees, you pay for NEPA, you pay for fuel. Praise the Lord. I think, don't let me add any other thing. Just, if you are dealing with those three things, praise the Lord. And then, in the midst of those three things, on the right side, on the left, is daily opportunities for corruption. To steal money, you work in government, to steal money, to falsify the books, all that is there. But in the middle is that you are living for the glory of God. Praise the Lord. So you are somebody, you look at corruption and say, no, I cannot. You have fled for refuge. Praise the Lord. You see corruption, you say no. Those who have fled for refuge. I'll go back. We didn't finish it. Who have fled for refuge, verse 18. Be quick. Who have fled for refuge. Don't enter into displaced areas. Start living like refugees. You flee so that God is your refuge. Praise the Lord. Don't join the corruption. Don't join the sexual immorality. They tell you that's life, this Gen Z. Flee for refuge. Praise the Lord. Particularly when the glory of God matters to you. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19 now. That's the hope. Which hope? Ekao. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That's keep your heart with all diligence. That's what he's saying there. Amen. The hope of the glory of God. The hope of Jesus coming. That hope, you have it as an anchor. Amen. As an anchor. Remember the stony heart. You know the problem? No anchor. No anchor. The thorny heart is trying to build an anchor, but they withered it.
But when
you are concerned about the glory of God, you are concerned about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that thing becomes a hope. It becomes an anchor. Praise the Lord. That's why all this time I'm saying, quick to repent. Stay in the word of God. Pray to stabilize your heart. You will take it seriously. Amen. It's an anchor. And he says it is sure. And it is what? Steadfast.
And which entereth? Which entereth into that within the veil? Verse 20. So these are hard scriptures. They are not soft. That's why they are hardly quoted in many churches. These are hard. These are the meat scriptures. Whither the forerunner is for us enter. He said you have entered within the veil. Praise the Lord. It's enter where? Within the veil. You know when you have a king, and the king is in a palace, but he has an inner room. The inner room. It's not anybody that goes there. Anybody can come and see the king in the palace. But the inner room. That's why I'm saying that if you are a Christian and you are seeking God for the glory of God is in the Shekinah, is in the holiest of all. It's not common now. He said, but once your hope is, the anchor is strong, it's sure and safer, you are going to follow that thing within the veil. Amen. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's why first class, second class, upper seeking students, they take their life seriously. Praise the Lord. They are disciplined. They make sure the reading time is carved out. Can watch some football, but before they go, they say, ah, there's football. Arsenal is playing at 4. So the guy starts to plan his day on the hours he will put into reading. Before that's a student that he's looking at the reason why he came to school. Praise the Lord. It's like the Christian too is looking at the reason why he is a Christian. Praise the Lord. He doesn't allow the word of God to suffer. He doesn't allow the relationship between him and God to suffer. He doesn't count his relationship with God as a light thing. Amen. You know, there are some Christians who just pass through life, but there are some Christians who know when God is not happy with them. That's a product of sensitivity. They are sensitive and they take their relationship seriously. They know when God is not happy with them. And they try to quickly repent and make amends. Some don't care. They won't say it to God, whatever God thinks, I beg, I want to live my own life. Anchor is your heart. Sure and steadfast. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Maintain a honest and a good heart. It doesn't come to anybody naturally. Amen. It takes quickly judging yourself. Use the blood of Jesus. Quick to judge yourself. Use the word of God. Constantly in the word. The word fuels your heart in the path of righteousness. And then you pray regularly, particularly praying in the spirit that stabilizes your heart. Praise the Lord. I think that is in the nutshell, a summary of what we've talked about in the last two Fridays. So, let me start with comments. Pierre, can we use the mic? Comments. Okay, good. You get it now. Comments on things we have had in the last 2 weeks. I hope you have thought about it. And whether you have comments or not, anyway, at least you have listened to the summary. So, if you have nothing to say about the summary, then I will ask you questions about the summary. I'm not the kind of lecturer that students sleep on me in class. It doesn't happen. Any comments? Okay, thank you. Please, I always say your name, please, before you give your comments. A question, good.
My name is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it possible for a heart that has an anchor to be swayed?
Very nice question. Please clap for Emmanuel. Emmanuel, when you go to Waterside, if you ever go to Waterside in Lagos, by the Atlantic Ocean, where there are boats and there are ships, they put an anchor. when the wind comes, it is still shaking that boat. It's just that the anchor now helps it. So, even when we have our anchor, the anchor just helps us that when the shaking comes, we'll not be blown away, but we all feel the shaking. Praise the Lord. The anchor doesn't, it's not an immunity. It's just that the winds will come. Papa Ralph says, the fact that you have an anchor doesn't stop the wind from Jesus sleeping in you. Jesus being present in your boat never stopped the wind from coming and the floods from entering. The disciples were there. Jesus was with them. You know, when you're in the plane, say, and Jesus and God speaks to you, say, I am with you in the plane. Then, when in the air, the plane will go, say, no, it can't go like that. Jesus is with me. When Jesus was in the boat with them, it didn't stop. It didn't stop the wind from coming. Praise the Lord. But it meant that when Jesus woke up and said, peace be still, he stopped. Praise the Lord. So the anchor helps us to defend, but it doesn't, to be stable. It doesn't stop the enemy from attacking. And that's why we keep our anchor. Praise the Lord. So if you are joking with the anchor, you'll be blown away. So you keep reinforcing it. It doesn't stop the wind from coming, but the wind will never blow you. It will blow you away. It blows, oh. It blew Jesus. It blew Peter. It blew Paul. Peter went to the prison and they even tried to kill him. That's the wind. But the angel came and delivered him. Paul and Silas were captured and beaten. But when the Jesus woke up in them, the prison doors were open. They were delivered. Praise the Lord. It's good to, I like that question, because we need to keep reinforcing our anchor. Keep that honest heart. Keep the self-judgment. Keep the word of God. Keep the prayer. Because our adversary, the devil, is always going about seeking whom to devour. Amen. Pierre. Okay. Thank you, Manuel. That was a nice question. Any question, comments? Are you raising up your hand? Don't worry, but you will speak today. I've been watching you since I mounted that pulpit. I've been watching you. So you will speak today. So start to think of what you will speak about. Any other question or comments? Emmanuel's question should spur us up. That was a very good question. It's a very great question.
I think while people are just preparing, I just repeat what you said, sir. Because these things are, because when you get into the real world, you know, you don't want anybody to preach you fable or lie to you. And that's one thing they seem to do. And then people now get offended when challenges come. You know, the winds will come. Like Jesus talking about the wise man that built, he dug deep, you know, but the floods came to test the foundation. The winds came, they tested the pillars, you know. The rains came, they tested his roof, you know, but because he dug deep, he lasted. And so what Prof said, I think everybody should hold on to it, because they will not preach devised fables for you and lies. You are not going to be immune to challenges that come, but the anchor guarantees stability, you know, and victory. And you can see, like, I mean, the best example is what he gave. The Lord Jesus was in the boat, and Satan still had the audacity to bring in the wind and the waves. And so, but I think the core thing that you should always focus on, you know, because by the time I tell you, you know, you never face any trouble in your life, everybody just shouts, amen. That's a lie of the devil. In this world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So your focus every time should be on the victor that is inside you, you know, so that every fear and every lie and every challenges is already, you've already assuaged before time. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the reality of the thing is, there's a lion around that is seeking to devour, but there's a lion of the tribe of Judah inside you. So when I tell you, you have a big brother, you know there are bullies around, but you know there's a big brother. Nobody can come and tell you nothing. Nonsense. Do you understand? So your trust remains in that big brother. Not in the fact that one pastor has given you a word that you will never have any challenge in your life. That's the lie of the devil. Do you understand what I'm saying? The word of the master, I like just that example, is beautiful. Jesus had told them, we are going to the other side. And so he went to sleep because God had told him, you are going to the other side. And so the winds came because they don't want him to get to the other side. And now the disciples were supposed to have said, look, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be still. But they were afraid. And then they woke him up. And then he said, peace, be still. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that is what we are more interested in. The anchor of the soul, the strong man that is in us, the superman that is in us, against the enemy that might come. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises the standard. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we need to start having some mature, that's a very, some people don't like those kind of questions. You understand? Because they don't believe that, you should have any challenge. No. The challenges will come, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, we can't continue this thing because we need to start renewing our minds. You know, because of, you're coming out of school, you're going to a new phase. You know, challenges will come. You don't want to start saying, oh God, but they told me now, but prof told me now. No, prof didn't tell you that. Prof told you the truth. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so you need to get into that kind of mode, you know, that attack mode, that warrior mode, that challenge ready mode. Are we together? But assured of victory, which is what you start looking into and start building your mind on. Okay? Your marriage is coming, homes are coming. You know, that's why I was talking about reality. Thank you, God.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let me just... Pastor Lalu said something. He said, don't let them lie to you. I read one man of God said something many years ago. He said, they can tell you the image of God. Anybody can tell you the image of God. But God will only show himself, not what they told you. Amen. God will not change himself to what they told you. God will only show himself. Amen. So, if they told you an image of God that is not God, a time will come, you will see God as he is. And you know what's the easy way to make sure you are closer to the image of God? Read the word of God. So, you just come back to those, how to make sure that we have a good another. Read the word of God. That in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The more you... So anybody can say anything. Even me. You can say anything. That's the final. That's the final. Always get that one in your heart. Praise the Lord. The word of God. Always get it into your heart. Praise the Lord. By the grace of God, we follow our fathers. We follow that and everything. But you yourself, read it by yourself. Amen. Have it inside you. Say, thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise the Lord. Any other question, comments? Question, comment? Okay. Twini.
Just a little contribution, sir. You talked about having a quality seed on a bad ground. So it's related to what you just said now, that when you preach the word of God to people and they don't go back to the word to study it, it won't kind of have a firm root. So I'm just trying to encourage us that when we hear the word of God here, we should try our best in our own closet, our personal closet. We should try to go back to the word. We should try to have it stored in our hearts, because there are some situations whereby the Holy Spirit will remind you of the word of God you have studied, that helps you to control your temper. It could be maybe when you're angry, if you've studied a word that talks about patience, about being slow to anger, there's a way you will be controlled. So we have to be consistent with the word of God and conversant with it, so that it helps our growth personally and in all areas. So may God help us.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give her a hand. I like that. There can be quality seed. I think I was using that example last week, that you have the wild palm tree that gives palm oil. The wild ones that grows in the wild, it takes them about 7 to 9 years for the palm to start to come out. But when you go to IETA, there are some improved seeds, quality seeds, in 3.5 to 4 years. But if we take that quality seed and you put it on a bad ground, it will not bring out the full potentials. Praise the Lord. Nothing is wrong with the seed. is the ground that is not good. So, but if you dig that ground, dig the earth out, put manure soil very deep, and put the seed, water it regularly. So keep your heart. That's your own ground. With all the seed, I mean, Pastor Louis, to the glory of God, our Father in the Lord, preaches quality seed. But in the church, there are different grounds. He always tells us this. He says, the fact that you come to scripture pasture doesn't mean you will make gold before God. By the grace of God, he preaches messages of gold. But the fact that you are coming does not necessarily mean you will make it to gold. Even though you are coming to here, that means you have to work on your heart. Amen. Work on your heart. Your parents took you to a very good school and got you an excellent lesson teacher. But when the lesson teacher is speaking, your heart is somewhere else. You won't make the best out of it. But everything to make you the best has been provided. Praise the Lord. So it won't be a portion. The quality seed by God's grace comes. Let's do our... I'll keep going back to that thing. Three simple things. Be quick to judge yourself. Be quick to repent. The reason why repentance and blood of Jesus is very important is God, in his normal way, is always looking to show mercy. But when there is a block between you and God, it hinders the flow of mercy. And quickly repent. So once you have repentance, it cleans the way between you and God. And then get the word of God inside you and pray to stabilize yourself. Praise the Lord. Don't just listen to these three things and just kick them away. No, invest in them. Praise the Lord. Invest in them. Any other?
So I have a comment.
Okay.
You share something about you gave an analogy of a student that did not prepare, even though it wasn't preparing for graduation. Okay, so I want to also use that analogy with the Lord Jesus Christ, that the book of Hebrews, that said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he forsook the shame. I think that's one thing we can also learn from the Lord Jesus Christ, that there is an hope of there's an hope in Christ. So we should endure whatever we are facing right now, that seeing him that is invisible, like let the reality of the glory, let it be so clear in your mind. Let it be so, and it is through the word of God, by reading your Bible, that will be so clear. So, but in the fact that, according to Moses too, he said, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured and seeing him that is invisible. So, seeing the invisible reality of the glory of God, and also the presence of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, also this thing keeps you doing the will of God. Because when we don't see anything, you will not do anything. When you don't see yourself becoming like Christ, you will not want to do it. You don't want to read your Bible. You don't want to pray. But if you see, the scripture told me about this thing, and it is true, and it's the reality, you are seeing yourself doing it. So I think that reality pushes you to do the will of God, to read your Bible and to pray.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's when you have a cycle, you have a honest heart. I want to seek God. Okay, how do you now seek him? Okay, they've taught you blood of Jesus, quick to repent, read the Bible, and pray. When you do those three things, it makes your heart more sensitive, more honest and good. And then you increase the depth of your Bible reading, the depth of your prayers. You are more sensitive to God. And then your heart gets better again. And that same heart, you use it for more word. So it's a cycle that when you do, and this is the original cycle, when you do good, God helps you the more to do better. Praise the Lord. And God helps you the more to do better. And God helps you the more to do better. Praise the Lord. So let's take heed to the things. Something is in my heart that I want to say to young people. This world is complex. The world is what? It's complex. And I'm sure any young person, 17, 18, you already seen it little by little. It's a complex world. It's not 1 + 2 = 3 and that's all. No. It's, I'm not the top maths person, but it is logarithm, signs, equations, Python. It's complex. And you only navigate it properly by being spiritual. Praise the Lord. That's the reality. It's getting more complex. You need spirituality to navigate. And spirituality is two types: godly or devilish. Hardly are people staying in the middle anymore. Hardly. Everybody is looking for spiritual. You either seeking God, you see very soon that the neutral is hot. You either quickly get into God, or very soon they will tell you there's another alternative. Learn that very quick, early from your youth. It's a complex world. It may not, because you have covering of parents, you have covering, people are trying to shield you, provide for you, and you may not see those realities. But as you go more into life, you have to see a lot of complexity about life and go, deadlines, needs come, problems come. Okay, some problems that know you're like, let's tell, this is a young people's gathering. I was talking to, I was in Abuja 2 days, someone like, she's like a daughter to me. I said, no one thing about marriage. The thing is that when they say marriage to any young person, marriage, any young boy, marriage, immediately just thinks of one fine girl. Marriage. You see, marriage is all that girl's problem from all her generations. You see, it's not her. She's just living her life, but inside her are problems. They were inherited. They were inherited from generations. When they say, man, you don't think about that. Marriage is a network. She has father, she has mother, she has siblings. You cannot now just talk marriage and think all those ones don't exist. The girl likes you, but her mother doesn't like you. Then you just think you can wish that away. Story of a young boy. Recent. Only son. And I think maybe second to the last, but only son. Then a girl comes along the way. So takes the girl to the mother. But the senior sister does not like that girl. So the mother now calls the senior sister and says, Abel, what's your own? Please leave her alone. And keep quiet. Leave. He said, this is true. That's it. But you know, he said something. He said, hey, he said, what saved me is that, well, not that I'm rejoicing, but a while ago we lost our father. Say, when my father was alive, anything that my senior sister says is full stop. That if my father was alive, my senior sister said, sir, daddy, forget this girl in our house. He said, daddy will say, I bet you've heard what your sister has said. But what am I just saying? Complex. He was, that he likes the girl and go, it wasn't as simple as that. But that's the reality of the world. And you navigate it through what we've said, blood of Jesus, word of God, prayer. That's how you navigate it. That's how you navigate it. Get your muscles ready. There are fights ahead. Praise the Lord. But there are surmountable fights. Amen. So we don't magnify the devil. They are surmountable. Fight the good fight of faith. You are not really too... I mean, fight is fight. Fight. Nobody really wants fighting. But when fight comes, you are ready. Praise the Lord. Israel told Iran, it's not that we are not looking for fight, too. But if fight comes, we are ready. Praise the Lord. We are ready. I was telling Pastor G today, I was reading the commentary of Israel's strike to Iran.
all the missile detectors that Iran has from Russia, high tech, none of it detected Israeli missile until after it had landed. When Israel struck Iran, they knew 300 and something missiles were coming. When Iran struck Israel, they knew 300 and something missiles were coming. They knew. So they set the Iron Dome in defense. Say, Israel struck just once or twice. Say, those missiles that went into Iran, until they landed, they were not seen. They were not seen. And they said, we're not ready for a fight, oh. But a fight comes. Our muscles are in place. Our muscles are in place. So nobody is going to look for Satan and say, I just read my Bible and go. But he now comes as he will usually do. You're going to start assaulting my family, assaulting my children, assaulting my career. You got to get up and fight. Praise the Lord. That one is even personal. Now, God is raising an army. The one he has assaulted Nigeria is enough. Some of us are going to fight. You know, some of you want to jaguar. Some of us, we are staying here. I'm not saying your jaguar is a problem, but some of us, this is where we are staying. Praise the Lord. And we are going to fight. Amen. So after you go, 10, 15 years, and you want to come back, you will meet a country. Praise the Lord. We are staying here. We are staying here. Because this is our country. Praise the Lord. And I'm just being real. And God has told our fathers, God has invested a lot in this country. And it's going to germinate. Amen. It's going to germinate. So it's some people's job to stay and make sure that it's built and see it germinate. Amen. That's good. And then later the whole world can come. You see, I mean, let's even look at it on the natural. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, who was China? But they sent, once they saw you are brilliant in China, they sent you to America. They sent you to UK. They sent them. And then many of them finished, became the best of the best. I mean, all the people that set up the China's space agency, they're all Chinese in NASA, in American Space Agency. They were top brains. They went to Harvard, they went to Princeton, and co. By the time they now, in the 20s, they worked in America till early 50s. China wanted to set up space. They now went back to China. And by that time, some people that stayed in China had built China. And there was somewhere for those people to come. And go. So life is like that. Life is like that. So I tell some of my students, you go, but don't forget, this is your country. Don't forget. Look back to do something. Remember the country. Because your siblings are here. Your relatives are here. And go. Those don't watch and they'll say, let Nigeria bomb me, I've left. No, that's not the spirit. That's not the spirit. The Gen Z in Zion Church don't think like that. Praise the Lord. Because that's why I say it's complex. What goes around comes around. Amen. So, praise the Lord. Please, another, you should have like, it's almost 6:30. Wow. One or two more comments. You know you are still going to speak. So if you think I've forgotten, what's your name? Kayode? God bless you. Okay, that's my name. Okay, so no wonder you will speak. Any other comments? Yes. Or do you have anything from online? Give Sister Yonfe.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I don't know what it's for. Maybe for all of us, I don't know. But I just felt I should share this. You know, in our walk with God, Prof and Pastor Lalu shared with us last week about the different kinds of hearts and what the medicine, so to speak, that each of the hearts needed. And they spoke about honesty, humility, determination, discipline, and diligence and patience. And, you know, personally, I've been more intentional about this because I really, really needed that word and everything, more intentional. And I'm seeing improvements, but they are little and everything. But it's quite interesting that the Holy Spirit kept on saying, pointing my attention to things that I'm doing better. See, you're doing this better. You're doing this better. Like, don't give up. So I just want to encourage us. I don't know, because this, like Prof and Pastor Laulu and our fathers have told us, Christianity is a long marathon.
Steeplechase.
Steeplechase. race. It's not a 1 meter dash, 100 meter dash. So it's a lifelong thing. And I remember I think it was last month where I asked the question about how do you keep on going when it seems like the same infirmities you've been dealing with for years, you are still dealing with them, and it seems like they're even blowing up and becoming more and more. Remember my friends encouraging me and saying, when John was writing, is it 1 John 3? He said, he made a statement, now are we the sons of God, and does not appear what we shall be, but when he shall come, he shall see him as he is. He that has this hope in him purifies himself. This was about 60 years of John being a Christian, and he was still talking about purifying himself. So it was just an encouragement that we shouldn't, I don't know who the word is for exactly, but I just want to encourage us that we shouldn't give up. As we are walking this walk of Christ, I mean with God, becoming more like Jesus, sometimes we make mistakes. Pick yourself up, like Prophet said, repent, move on. Don't give up on becoming like Jesus. Don't give up. Sometimes you will flare up, you're like, am I born again? Don't give up. Don't give up. Even if you misbehave, repent. What does the word say? Okay, try, take a step. And don't celebrate your little wins. They say little drops make an ocean. In our flesh, there's one scripture that I always remember. It's in Job. It says, in my flesh, I shall see God. I will become like Jesus in this same physical body.
Yes.
So don't let's give up. Let's keep on running the race. Christ, like the song we sang for Easter, heaven is counting on us and they are cheering us on.
Amen.
So God will continue to help us in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Let's give her a hand. Amen. Don't give up. Huh? Accept. You see, by God's grace, I'm an academic. I'm a professor. See, that job is a reading job. It just demands that you read regularly. Okay? Do experiments, you read, you write papers, you read. That's the job. At the beginning, it's a tough job. It's not interesting, it's tough, it's challenging. But later it becomes part of you. Okay? So, I've had to do some reading today. When I get home, I read. It's a lifestyle. You got to read and go. That's the. Once you're a Christian, that you read the Bible, you pray. It's not stopping, no. It's your life. Praise the Lord. It's your life. So at the beginning it's difficult, but that you get used to it. Later, I'm telling you from experience, but to the glory of God, later. You don't pray, you don't read your Bible, you will now be like, you feel like a fish out of water. It's like oxygen has been taken from you. How did they say, Pastor talk about prayer? Say prayer is first a duty. Hey! That's what God badra leni by. Then later, it becomes a discipline. You just say, God, have mercy. I have to pray. Okay, it's prayer time. God, have mercy. Duty. Discipline. Later it becomes a delight. You're going home, I'm going to pray. So before you even get home, you're already praying in tongues a little. Something's already bubbling and cheering. You're looking forward to entering the need of the prayer. It takes time, but it goes from duty to discipline to delight. So we don't give up. Praise the Lord. Kaudi, what have you gained today? Get up. What have you gained? Or you've just wasted your time coming here. What have you gained today?
So, praise the Lord, everybody.
Hallelujah.
So, what I've gained today, what I'll be taking home today is challenges will come, but you just have to have faith in God, and in due time, you're all fed off.
I want to speak for the next 2 minutes. Keep speaking. Abi? I said, what did you gain today? I've changed the question. What did you gain today? Say it in 2 minutes, not less. Oh, yeah? Why are you sleeping? I stood there speaking for 50 minutes. I now say you should speak for two. Oh, yeah? Summarize in 2 minutes. When they say, this is English essay, summarize it in 250 words. You now wrote 10 words and you came out of the exam. Where that's the summary. One pass me. Ah. Oh yeah, summarize it in 2 minutes. Start all over again.
So,
your time starts now.
So, yeah, life has its own challenges. So, just, you have to have faith in God and keep believing and keep doing His will and due time.
What are three things I kept mentioning? Are the three ways that we keep a honest and good heart?
Diligence, consistency.
No.
In the Word of God.
No. The Word of God, one. There were three key things I said a Christian always has to keep. Okay, the Word of God is one. The first.
His heart.
Quick
to repent, yes.
Two.
And the third is, you said consistency.
Mm-mm. Consistency are adjectives of how we do these three things.
Yes.
So the three things are, one, clean our hearts with the blood, be quick to repent.
Yes.
Two, the Word of God. Three, what do we do in church?
Worship, pray.
Worship?
We worship, we pray, we learn.
We pray. The third one is prayer. You see, Kari, your mind was not first here, but later your mind started coming, so, and that's why I picked you. So I hope I'll see you next Friday. Eh? Uh-huh. Let me see you next Friday. Emmanuel, bring him. Uh-huh. Thank you. Let's give Kaode a hand.
See,
Pastor Lauli,
sir. Okay. I just want to say this. You see, the reason why we come here is not just to entertain ourselves. These are key things we're going to need, like Prof was talking about, in life, against life's challenges and as we grow. And I think one thing God is doing in our midst right now is that He's trying to grow us up, and we're actually having a mind shift. We're moving to levels. I mean, the question that started was a very crucial question for a person that hitherto, if you've been drinking milk, then it makes you pause that, you understand, you now know that this is meat. Yeah, your milk teeth is beginning to move out, and the strong teeth is beginning to come out, you know. So I think one thing God is, you might be wondering, what's the essence of this thing? I know it's not power, it's not a mighty rushing wind, you understand. But there's a scripture our prophet was preaching. I'm going to end with these scriptures. It says in Proverbs 27, verse 19, you know, if you used to watch plays in the 90s, and it tells you that this thing is very good, it's very true. In those plays, there used to be a focus on the negative in those plays, where people go to the witch doctor and then the guy looks into the water, you know, and then he sees. But really, the devil only copies God. You understand what I'm saying? The devil only copies God. I think I was talking about that with my wife, you know, some days back. That you see, there are some things that the devil does, and it gives you, like, pastor has been, sorry I'm digressing, but pastor has been teaching our spirit without measure. And people feel that, no, when I'm a young Christian, I have power with the same man of God too, has power. Me too, I have that kind of power. But really, God deals in categories and growth level and capacity. And that's why even in the kingdom of darkness, Satan doesn't give everybody the same power. Some people, they have to do something before he gives them more. You understand? So it tells you that in the spirit realm, they deal with category and growth. Now, the reason I'm saying this is in Proverbs 27, verse 19, it says, as in water, face reflects face. You look into the water, what do you see? Eh? Somebody's face. The celebrity that you love's face. The guy that you wish to be like on Instagram's face. The one that you've been dreaming about that you want to be in the future's face. His reality is as you are. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, a man's heart reveals the man. And that's why we're talking about this heart matter. You want to know how you are right now, where you are, your level, look into the Word. Look into your heart. Tell me what your heart is always thinking about. Tell me what comes out of your heart when you talk. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is who you are. And that's why we're not talking about the heart issues. And what God is trying to do is to heal our hearts. God is not condemning us. The reason why, I know this is not really easy, because he's talking about something that is inside you. Something that you look into the mirror and you see. Something that reflects in your daily life. Something that is not preached every time, but is you. You cannot run away from it. It is you. You jackpot, it is you, because it's inside you. It is you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Wherever you're on the surface of the earth, you change jobs, you change church, you move from home, it's you. And that's why when you deal with it, wherever you go, you'll be a source of blessing to that place and not an added problem. And so I said, the heart that we're talking about is made up of your will, your mind, your emotions, when we are talking about the heart. And so, again, the reason I'm saying this is so that you leave this place with the reality of this truth. We're not just looking for a topic to entertain ourselves. That was another topic that we should treat. But we are talking about realities of life and things that you need to deal with to be successful and victorious in life. And so, again, one thing I want to say is this. When one of the twins was talking, now you've seen the importance of the heart. As water reflects water, as water reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects a man. The next thing I want you to live with, again, in addition to what Prof has said, is this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. Because it helps you to deal with the heart. It helps you to heal the heart. It helps you to bring the heart back to the right direction. The compass has left. And the course of the day, like Emmanuel was talking about, the wind blowing. The wind blowing is not just a challenge, a big challenge. It's temptations that come against you on a daily basis. You might be good in the morning. What happens by 12 p.m., 12 noon? What happens by 2? What happens by 4? What happens by 12 midnight? How is your heart? What are the winds? People have said things. You have seen things. You have heard things. You have not done what you're supposed to do. Their heart has moved. Those are the winds that are blowing their heart. And so, in Ephesians chapter 3, there's a prayer that we pray. It's in the app. And I strongly encourage you. See, what we're talking about is so that we can live where we are to where we are supposed to be. And so, in Ephesians chapter 3, that prayer is, Father, strengthen us. Let me just read it. I think I have it out. Ephesians chapter 3. Okay, is it there? Good. So, if you look at it, there's one prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. There's a time when we dealt with it. If you've started it then, you know that God is just moving you a step higher. Well, you've not been doing it. You have to go back to that thing. The whole essence of coming to church is to be doing what you are doing so that you can live where you are to where you ought to be. It won't be dreams or wishful thinking. That He would grant you according, let's read it, that He would grant me according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in my inner man. That was your spirit. That Christ, see, the first thing He must do is to strengthen your spirit man. You must pray that God will strengthen your spirit man. You are a threefold being. You are a spirit man. You have a soul. You have a heart. And then you live in a physical body so you can interact with the earth. The first thing I tell God is, God, please strengthen my spirit man by your spirit in my inner man. The next thing is so that what? Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, Christ, the person of Jesus, the nature of God, may what? Dwell where? I thought you were born again. Why are you now having to pray it again? That Christ may dwell, may. That means He might not be dwelling there regularly. He might not be living there. Is He still visiting there? Are you still shutting Him out? The Bible says, I stand at the door of His own church that He bought with a price. I stand at the door. I knock so that you can open. He will not force it because He's not a bully like the devil. He has bought it to the price, but He still wants you out of your own free will to open the door and say, Oga, come in and live there with me. And so He says, strengthen my spirit. So my spirit can take control of my mind, my will, and emotions. So that Christ may what? Dwell. What's the meaning of dwell? Live. Not visit. Not squat. Live. Dwell in my what? Talk to me now. Dwell where? In my heart. Which is your soul, your will, your mind, your emotions. By faith. That I being what? That I may what? What? That I may be what? Rooted and grounded. That's what Emmanuel was saying. So Emmanuel, you see where? And everybody, you see where anchor comes from. You must first be strengthened in your spirit, man. Your boat must be strong. You're not talking about one weak boat. Then, apart from strengthened by the spirit, you must have a good captain. Apart from that, Christ is dwelling in that heart by faith. Do you understand? And then the next thing is that you can be rooted and grounded in love. You need that anchor in these times. Love is patient. Love is kind.
Love is not proud. Love loves righteousness. Love hates sin. You go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. That you may be rooted and grounded in love. Then after that, you'll be able to comprehend with all saints in every challenge when you are dealing with people, be it in business, be it in class, be it in the hostel, wherever, be it in church. Of course, this is growth level. You'll be able to comprehend with them. You'll be able to know how to answer them, whether to answer, whether not to answer, what to say, what not to say. You'll be able to interact. You know what answer to give. Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of the love of God. And you'll be able to know the love of Christ. You'll be able to see things like Jesus sees things. Handle things the way Jesus handles things. That passeth knowledge, so that you might be what? Filled with all the fullness of God. That's where we are going. But you can see it takes grades. It takes daily work. It takes daily intervention. It takes this strengthened by my spirit in my inner man. It takes Christ dwelling in my mind by faith. Then I'll be able to be rooted and grounded in love. Then I'll be able to comprehend with all saints, interact with people I'm meeting every day. And then I will know the love of God that passes knowledge, natural knowledge, the way people just do things, and then I'll be filled with the fullness of God. That's one prayer I want to leave with you that will begin to change your heart. You begin to have a heart transplant. You know, you begin to have the heart of Christ. You begin to think like Jesus, determine like Jesus. Your strengthening of determination begins more like Jesus. Your diligence becomes more like Jesus's own. Your discipline becomes more like Jesus. It's progressive. It's daily. You know, it's moving. It's like when you're moving a compass, you know, the needle moves progressively. It can stop and then it can go back again, but you don't want it. But pressure is going on the inside. The needle is moving bit by bit, and then you focus on Christ. Growth, improvement, like what you're talking about. You know, so you give yourself time, you are patient with yourself. That's when you are rooted and grounded in love. You are working in love, even towards your own self, not just towards other people. Towards yourself as well. You are chilling for yourself. You are not being lazy. You are forgiving yourself. So you can forgive other people and comfort other people and encourage yourself and encourage other people. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, you want more buruki, you should tell him, make in life. You know, you look into the mirror and say, should tell him, make it. Of course you can make it. You tell yourself, Mole, make it. Mole, make it. You know, I will make it in Jesus' name. When you meet another person, he's going through that challenge. You're able to tell the person the same thing. And let me tell you, I know time is going, but I need to say this. Prof gave an example of counseling somebody, a young person, about marriage just a few days ago. The same thing happened to me. I had to counsel a young person like us. Young person. You know, the same kind of challenge, Prof. So, you know, there's young people, you know, having marital challenges. But you can strengthen them and comfort them and encourage them. And that same day, Pastor talked about marriage. And then, while we were standing and praying, he talked to him and said, your people. He said, your people. He was talking to me. And everybody was just laughing. Because he knows, I'm talking about the millennials and Gen Z that always walk into marriage and walk out of marriage and just think that marriage is just, they don't know it's a marriage covenant. And the covenant is life and death. And you see, he kept saying something even after the preaching. He said, you know, they've watched so many things on Hollywood, on Instagram, on TikTok. They've seen one celebrity walk into marriage, walk out of marriage, nothing happened. And they feel that, me too, I can do it. Forgetting that the guy is an unbeliever. And you, that are a Christian, that he said, I do. In sickness, or against sickness, against hell, against sickness, against poverty, till death do us part. You don't know that what you are in front of God and you are saying that. And we say that confession is possession. When it's come about getting car, Camry, we know that confession is possession. But when it talks about till death do us part, you forget that no, you just say the way they do it in Hollywood, Ali Shebe, now we can do it like that. It's not like that. Oh. And then they sealed it with communion when you were taking it. Even if you didn't take communion during the marriage, you've already said till death do you part. And then he gave examples, some very, very, very crucial examples. Then you now know that it's not something that you just walk into and then walk out of. Even if you have challenges in the marriage, you deal with it. And that's why I had to tell that girl as well, Prof. The same person coming to me, different person now, but you facing the same thing, just a confirmation about in the phases of life and different challenges will arise. And you must build that muscle. And that's why I'm talking about prayer. If you're not used to prayer, it's not too late. Don't feel bad. Don't look down on yourself. Don't say you can never make it. Start from somewhere. But for you not to start, I cannot guarantee what's going to happen in the future. You understand? But when you start now, you begin to strengthen yourself and build the muscle and be ready, you know, for the future. Let's just bow our hearts to pray. The heart, very important. Your will. Because even when you get born again, there's still sin nature in the heart. There's still sin nature in the soul. There's still sin nature in the soul. And that's why we're talking about the good and honest heart. It takes exercise. It takes practice. It takes progressive change. It takes healing. God is healing our hearts. And that's why he's bringing this word. So you know that I've not gotten there. In the book of Revelation, he says, I'm the one that tries the reins and the hearts. And then I give to every man according to his works. So what God really looks at is the heart. That's why I said, David, a man after God's own heart, is a heart matter. He said, Samuel, no, it's not the brawls. It's not the brains. It's not the six packs. It's not the gym that he's gone to. Thank God for that. It's not the brains. It's not the PhD. It's not the BSc. It's not the MSc. Thank God for that, if you have the opportunity. But he says it's the heart. The heart of a man reflects the man. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. This is the covenant I will have with them after those days. I will write and embed my laws within their thoughts. I will fasten them onto their hearts, he says. In King James, says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their mind. I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they will be to me a people. No man will have to teach every other man, saying, know the Lord, for all of you will know me from the least to the greatest. So I'm just going to make that prayer in Ephesians 3. It says, Heavenly Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this evening, teaching us about having a good and honest heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercies. We repent of our sins, and so we pray that according to Ephesians chapter 3, 16 to 19, daily you will grant us according to the riches of your glory to be more strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, so that Christ will dwell in our hearts by faith, that we may become more rooted and grounded in our love, in our will, that we may be able to comprehend more in our mind with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height of the body of Christ, that we will know more in our emotions the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, like Christ showed to the Samaritan woman in spite of his knowledge of her sins. And we will ultimately be filled in our bodies with all the fullness of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father Bajaka. Thank you, Lord Joseph Turia. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit Bakaya, watching over us, the Messiah. Thank you for your mercy, Zakaya. Life in the Kodeth and the Naska, in our wheels, the Bashadia, in our minds, the Mesukto, in our emotions, the Katuria, in our physical bodies, the Kadia, in our intellect, the Vashankta, in our members, the Katuria, organs, the Katidia, tissues, the Katuria, circumstances, regional heavens, the Katuria, finance and health, the Katuria, your kingdom coming, your will being done. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Wicked spirits in the heavens and the earth have overcome during our prayers, warring against our souls. We destroy your works. We resist, we bind, we break your hold and influence. Generational infirmities, generational infects, infirmities in our souls, circumstantial, Lord, power of the enemy in the air. We cast out, we break your hold, we destroy your works, we loose the angels to minister for us. God's perfect will in Jesus' name. Fasten your law in our hearts, embed them in our minds, so that that covenant will be written on our hearts. You will be our God. We will be your people. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for his mercies. The offering basket will go around. The announcement is, of course, next week is going to be the first week in the month of May, isn't it? Wow. See, God, oh, you already moved to the fifth month. Okay. So it's going to be prayer and worship. So we encourage you to come. Let's come and pray and dedicate the month of May into the hands of God our Father, so that it's going to be another level, another growth level we'll have in every area of our lives. If you don't have a local church,